to me, luck, as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way.
Love and war. When I think about those two words, I think about the stories of my own family, my English grandparents meeting after my grandma's first fiancé had been shot down over Europe in World War II, and the story of my Australian great-grandfather marrying in England and bringing his bride home. One of those stories had a long and happy ending. The other didn't. Wartime tears families apart, and in the days without instant email, Skype and text messages, the way soldiers communicated with their loved ones was vastly different. Yvonne Toomey is a member of the Port Macquarie and District's Family History Society and recently told the story of her uncles George and Will. Will was fighting in France when he sent this postcard to his mum.
Dear Mother, I am quite well and having a respite from the trenches for a few days. The Germans have quietened down on our part of the line that last few days. I think they are about fed up with this war, as it is to be hoped they are. I'm sending the girls each a scarf, which I trust they receive. This will just about reach you on your birthday. I am sending you this handkerchief as a souvenir of the Royal Engineers, which I am attached. Don't forget the good old REs. Fond love to all, Will.
But it wasn't just the love for their families that soldiers were concerned with. Romantic love, or the promise of romantic love, was used to get soldiers into the army in the first place. A poster of a woman holding a slouch hat with seductress eyes, staring out, and the words, "Mister, here's your hat, join the AIF now," was used to entice young men into the army. Rebecca Britt is the curator of a travelling Australian War Memorial exhibition called Of Love and War, and she talks about what the army was trying to pull on with this image.
The army was trying anything that they could think of in order to entice men into uniform. We saw it in the First World War, and again the poster you're referring to from the Second World War. And everything was fair game, including relationships. And there has always been a tradition of the man in uniform as being a very masculine, a manly figure which women admire. And the recruiters jumped on that and really did use it as a means of enticing men into uniform, promising that sexual or romantic success would come if you were in uniform, and that poster really captures it.
A man in a uniform has a certain appeal to any generation, and the AIF knew that. But when the Americans turned up in Australia in different uniforms in World War II, Aussie men weren't quite as attractive anymore. But the same was true in England in World War I when the Australians arrived in their slouch hats.
It's quite interesting. So the Australians in England were like the Americans in Australia during the Second World War. They were exotic for these English girls. They had a different way of presenting themselves, a different way of wearing their uniform. They had this slouch hat that they'd wear at a rakish angle. They'd have their hands in their pockets and they wouldn't necessarily salute every officer who walked past. And this kind of devil-may-care attitude, women found particularly attractive, and a lot of relationships were formed between English girls and Australians during the First World War. We estimate about 12,000 marriages happened between members of the Australian Imperial Force and British or sometimes French girls, and those women came back to Australia.
One of those 12,000 marriages was my great-grandfather's. His English bride must have been taken by his slouch hat and his broad Aussie accent. But that's the family story that didn't have a happy ending. Not long after arriving back in Victoria, they divorced. No one knows why, but it wasn't unusual. A lot of marriages happen within a week of the couple meeting. And I asked Rebecca how many of these marriages lasted after the war.
It's a really interesting question. There hasn't been a lot of study gone into these relationships post-war, but we do know that there was a rise in divorce rates after, so the Second World War. It started becoming a lot more acceptable. But how many of them are actually connected back to the problems of wartime is not clear. But anecdotally, we do know that a lot of men had trouble settling back into domestic life after having served overseas. We have a series of cartoons in our collection, one from the First World War, one from the Second World War, one from Vietnam, and they show the same story, that the men feeling trapped by the domestic nature and browbeaten by their wives. They want to get back into the army. And I thought that was quite extraordinary, that it's across generations, this same experience of war. And for women as well, having these men come back into their lives would have been a very difficult adjustment. They were single parents for most of the war, in some cases, that they had children. And suddenly they had to introduce a new male figure back into their lives and readjust and get to know each other all over again.
But for those soldiers with sweethearts at home, their romances were continued by letter. Letters home from the battlefield detail great longing and loss. Some of them spoke about what they were experiencing, but most of them were about professing their love. Some of them were even rather boring for anyone other than the couple, their sweethearts detailing who they saw down the street the other day. The forms that some letters took was quite interesting. An entire industry of silk postcards sprung up in France during World War I, and Jennifer Mullen from the Port Macquarie and District's Family History Society was drawn to them on a visit to France.
Girls in Dad's family, three sisters, all had little embroidered cards, postcards that Grandfather sent home. They were divided between the girls in the family. I feel in my heart that this is why I was so taken with these when I was at Villers Bretonneux. I took photo after photo of these little French embroidery that the ladies in France would do and sell to the soldiers to send home to their sweethearts.
But it wasn't just silk postcards that were sent home. Some soldiers even wrote on biscuits. I asked Rebecca Britt if there was an element here of necessity being the mother of all inventions.
I think there's a little bit of that, but I think there's also a little bit of joking around and making light of the situation. So yes, we've got biscuits, we've got a coconut that someone sent back to their girlfriend as a bit of a joke and a bit of a way of sharing their exotic location. They're up in the islands, and that was completely different from where she was. So there is that connection, keeping the connection through gifts and through letters and using anything that you could.
War changed everything. It separated loved ones, and in many ways it changed the way relationships started, continued, and even ended. One thing it didn't change, though, was the passion, desire, and longing that comes with romance.
Picture you upon my knee.